The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, thank you, welcome.
Hello, you know, Christy.
Hello. I write or draft these outlines myself, but still when I have to delete the part that says Christy and Michelle banter, I delete it and then I get really hyper aware that we deleted banter time. Like, you better cut right to the chase, Daily Matthews. Get in there.
So I still know you as Daily, by the way. I know. I have you in my phone as Daily.
My husband still calls me Daily, and yeah, it's weird. That's my maiden name, everyone. So
on a daily.
We've made a note here, minimal banter, because
We had a phone call before this. That's why we did a phone call before this. So we could be like, okay, so what's up? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. How was your weekend? How was Easter?
Quick check-in all around.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cliff Notes version of that is, everyone's fine. What does fine mean? When is this going to end? That's basically what we talked about.
And did you realize it was a weekend? Are you framing your time as a weekend? We're trying to do that.
Yes, we are trying as well, mostly because by Friday afternoon, I've just like fully given up on educating my children anymore. So I need 2 days to be like, fine, watch the iPad. Yes, YouTube is fine.
Do whatever. Let them do it.
Yes.
What does your shirt say?
I should zip it all the way up. It actually says, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Fuck everyone. It's from My Favorite Murder. It's not, I don't just say things like that.
You bought swag from a podcast?
My friend gave it to me for my birthday when she found out we were both My Favorite Murder
fans.
That's
so cute.
We need swag. And it says that on the back, but it's like a workout shirt, but I can't wear it to the gym. It literally says fuck everyone on it. There is not an asterisk. It just says it.
Do you cover it up around the kids?
Yes.
Aww.
You just saw the top part, right?
It's really cute typeface. I like the font.
Yeah, it's cute.
And the colors.
You like it, and then you're like, oh, that's rude.
It is a little like, okay, what's your
problem? It's a little abrupt. Okay,
negative Nelly. Okay, we got on the banter. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, don't do any bad reviews.
You're supposed to ask me for the day's topic.
Right,
jump right into that.
Christy, what's today's topic?
Well, good question. Today's topic is tying the knot while quarantined. I went for some puns here. I thought about quarantining the knot.
It didn't
stick. Anyways, it's happening. We're hearing about it. We're seeing it. There's news stories. Some
and
good
we're
news
loving it.
To infiltrate. So we decided we're going to dig in.
I'm like, embrace. I love this. It is a sign of the times, people. And I freaking love it.
Yes. Frankly. We've seen some of the cutest little videos or montages they're all over my news sites, Facebook, you know, all the social media. So every time we watch a couple get married in their living room, we think about how that couple had to get to that point. So we're going to talk to somebody who has attended one of these weddings and is a professional himself. And our guest today.
And he's been on the show before, so he's our friend.
Yes.
He's on the show before. He's a TBWPP alum.
He's not a first-time caller. He's a second-time caller. Okay. Jason Mitchell Kahn, welcome. I'm going to read your bio now.
Okay.
It's so weird when we tell them to like be quiet until we're done.
Okay. Quiet. Welcome. Be
Jason
quiet.
Jason Mitchell Kahn has been planning weddings for 10 years now. It began while he was running all of the events at the iconic Soho House, New York, and became known as their in-house wedding guru. When same-sex marriage first became legal in New York, he pitched his idea and got a book deal to publish the first wedding planner for gay grooms, aptly named Getting Groomed. From there, he went to Shiraz Events, overseeing their wedding division in New York, Los Angeles, and London. He's now in his third year of having his own business, Jason Mitchell Kahn and Co. Additionally, he served as director of weddings. He serves as director of weddings and editorial for Men's Vows,
who we love.
The topic last time he was here. Jason is also a playwright and known for bringing his storytelling lens to his events. You can read a handful of his creative ideas on his latest blog post, which we're going to talk about today, Tips for a Successful Virtual Wedding.
Welcome,
hi.
Jason.
Hi, ladies. Hi, I'm so happy to be here again.
You've grown a mustache, I feel like, since the last time.
It is definitely new. It is a quarantine experiment because the only people I'm seeing are some, you know, Zooms and FaceTimes.
Yeah.
So I figured, why not try it out?
Because you're sort of dapper, you have now, it kind of is like a Three Musketeers, but like, you know, the original vibe.
Interesting. To be honest, I'm getting very mixed feedback on it from different people.
I was thinking that now would be the time as an adult to like get braces, or that we, you know, that thing you have to put in your mouth if you wanted, you know, because you're not seeing anybody. Like, now would be the time to do the weird face mask that may or may not peel layers of, yeah.
Absolutely.
Whatever we need to do.
I'm getting, so do you remember that movie? Oh my God. Okay. Do you all remember that movie, Three Men and a Little Lady? I think it was called. Tom Selleck, Ted Danson,
Steve Guttenberg was
Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I'm feeling that, like, with what you're wearing and the mustache.
Blazer, t-shirt,
blazer,
combo,
or like Ted Danson would be in his like silk robe.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, I love this blazer because it is made out of sweatshirt material. So I felt like I could put it on with my sweats and feel more like a wedding planner, as I live in sweats every day now.
I have one of those. It's from Uniqlo and I love it.
It's so comfortable. It's actually, I mean, before we were living like this, I loved traveling with it because it doesn't wrinkle. And so it's like great if you're like getting off a plane and you kind of want to look put together. But I put it over my tank top and I realized during your intro that there might be a nip slip at some point. So just be prepared.
Oh, is it like a big cutout on the sides? Look at you. That's hot.
Oh,
I like
nice.
It. Cute.
You're too bad this cute. Isn't visual.
I know. Well, we are recording on Zoom.
Too bad,
so
and
know.
Also, thank goodness.
Yeah, no, totally.
I have not put a bra on in literally 4 weeks at this
point. You know, I have to say, a lot of women have told me that's like one of their favorite things about quarantine is not wearing bras.
For me, it definitely is.
I have to wear a bra. I just feel like a mess if I don't wear a bra. It's just a mess there. Too many kids. Actually, it's only been two kids. I don't know what happened. Let's not go there.
Too many.
Let's go somewhere else right now. We don't want to think about this. So Jason actually came to us. You hit us up and you're like, hey, I think I should be on again and talk about these virtual weddings. And simultaneously, we're seeing them everywhere. Super into them. So this was just like such perfect timing. Tell us what you think about all this.
Yeah, give us a synopsis of that blog posty post.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it came in for a few reasons. And one is because I happened to attend my first virtual wedding, which we'll tell you about, which was just as a guest. I had no, you know, I did not plan it. Mm-hmm. And it's while as a planner, you know, we're being asked all these questions about how to give couples the best advice about rescheduling and how to deal with situations like changing the color palette from a summer wedding to a fall wedding that I think are all important to still cover. But as I know you have said, you've covered the COVID and weddings and things like that, that virtual weddings are a reality. They are happening with more frequency now. And yet most people don't, I think about everything that could go into it. So it doesn't feel like just like a Zoom work call. It's still a wedding. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to pay attention to those details because people are making a specific choice to have them because it's important to them in this moment to get married.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be memorable no matter how you end up doing it. You want to fondly recall and remember those moments.
Absolutely. And in some ways, more people are attending them than they would have at in-person weddings because now nobody is restricted by travel or anything like that, not being able to get a sitter for their kids. So a lot of people are tuning in and watching them. And I think that for all of us, anytime that we can also inspire and celebrate love, it's needed more than ever now because we're all at home all the time and some people are pulling their hair out. And so to attend a 30-minute ceremony where you feel inspired and lifted up. It's a beautiful thing to do for the guests, in addition to what it is for a couple to know that no matter how chaotic our world feels right now, we're in love and we're going to get married. And so it made me want to write a blog and give some tips to people that are going through this to do it just a little bit better.
And we will post to that, of course, on our show notes and talk about it more in this episode and future episodes. I was curious, though, with the one that you were a guest for, was it on their original wedding day?
It was on their original wedding day, but what had happened is they planned the wedding for this day, and we all had, it was a cousin of mine, you know, we all had our tickets to travel in and celebrate with them.
Where was it supposed to be? In what city?
In Chicago. That's where they live.
Okay.
And about 3 weeks before their wedding day, which was in March, they sent out an email that they were postponing till the end of August due to coronavirus. And then the week leading up to what was their original wedding date, they felt that even August didn't necessarily feel safe. And there were things that were important to them, like my cousin's 92-year-old grandfather being able to join. And so they said, you know what, let's just do this on our original wedding date, get married. And whenever we are safe and in the clear and ready to celebrate with the world, we are going to have a huge reception and do that. But until then, they're married.
And they just emailed everyone?
They emailed everybody. Okay.
How far in advance did they email everybody? Do you remember?
It was that week. I mean, I think we got the emails on Sunday or Monday for a Saturday night wedding.
Fun.
And they're like young, savvy people, but they even said it took them, you know, several like tech troubleshooting exercises to really figure out the right way to utilize Zoom and to get the correct link out to people. And so I think those are, you know, at minimum, those are some things that people need help and guidance with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like they can just figure it out because it's different than a regular call.
Oh. Correct.
So, hi guys.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm Michelle.
I'm Christy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Yeah, thank you for having us. This is exciting. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
This is Kim. Thank you. Why don't you all introduce yourself? So everybody listening, let's just let this happen. We are having some guests on the show, couples and a photographer who has experienced these virtual weddings, who have done these weddings. And we thought it would be awesome to talk to them and have you all listening hear about how it went. How the hell did they do this? So this is Kim and Jim.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And where are you guys, where are you? Where do you live?
We live in Long Island City, which is right outside of New York City.
Okay, and you all, you know Jason.
We are connected because they had booked a photographer who is one of my go-tos. And gotcha. I saw him posting about attending their wedding on Zoom, which is, so I reached out to him and asked if they could connect us for this episode.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Congratulations.
But if you're going to have a real wedding in the future, let me know. You. We can talk.
Yes.
not a real wedding. I don't mean to use the word real. I mean in person.
Like, yes.
Yeah, so, woman. Sorry, guys.
No. Go ahead. You.
No, we were just going to say that we moved our wedding reception to December 5th. So.
Oh, a December wedding. Yay.
So you did your ceremony knowing, like, we're planning this big party where we'll invite everybody, if not more people, for a later thing.
When was it?
Another ceremony?
Yeah, so...
we had three ceremonies.
Yeah, technically we had three ceremonies.
Oh. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Here we go. Well, we had to make it officially legal, and our... the officiant was not able to be there, so we had to go with one of her colleagues and have it signed on Thursday to make it legal, and we backdate to make it legal for the day of the virtual wedding. Mm-hmm. So we had to do twice so far, and we're going to do another one in December.
And so I take it you had procured your marriage license before the city clerk's offices were shut down?
Yeah, that was the whole thing as well. Not only did we want to be married on April 4th, but the idea of having to go back to New York City courthouse, which has been closed for almost a month now, and we have no idea when it's going to reopen. So that was kind of one of the big things that, you know, we've
really pushed for.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't want to wait as well.
Some decisions are logistics and some are like emotional, our hearts, we want this date, things
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, exactly. There was a lot of up and down emotions that came through.
But we wanted that up to know that we actually could still do it. Even though our friends and everyone else can be there and family, we could have it at a later date. Mm-hmm. But we really wanted to stick to what we decided and say, hey, no matter what happens, we're gonna go and follow through. Mm-hmm. It might not be perfect, but we'll make it perfect in December.
Yeah.
But it was just something that made us kind of look at the situation a little bit better, being instead of, oh, I'm so sad, this is horrible, why this happened to me, and said, oh, now we have a task or a fun opportunity to do something during a time where we're stuck inside.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's such a unique experience for you because of the times that we're in. Like, you're going to tell if you have children someday, your kids about it, and you know, you'll have this really cool story.
Exactly. And it brought a lot of our families a lot of joy throughout these crazy times to be able to, you know, we streamed this over YouTube. So I had friends, moms tuning in and like other people who, you know, not exactly would be invited to the wedding, but they were so happy for us and wanted to.
My work colleagues.
Yeah, exactly. So we were able to kind of expand it to, you know, other people that we knew but wouldn't exactly be, you know, invited to our wedding. And one of the things why we wanted to do it in December is the virtual wedding was only me and Jim and our dog Louie in the apartment. So we wanted to, you know, do it actually in front of our family and friends and everything as well. So the wedding, the virtual wedding on the 4th was just a little snippet of what's to come. So
you signed the license on the Thursday before, just because somebody who was ordained or whatever, who could legally marry you was available to sign that day, practicing social distancing, I'm sure.
Yes, of course. It just so happened that she lived really close to us and she was a friend of our wedding officiant and she was amazing enough to come and help us out in this crazy time. So,
and your wedding officiant was where? Why didn't your wedding officiant do it?
She is in Massachusetts right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
we had the no travel like ban after, I think, I don't know which date it started, but they did not want people basically leaving New York across state lines.
Yeah.
And she really didn't want to do that if she didn't have to. And we agreed that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. It was for the safety of her family as well. You know, she left New York, you know, right when the beginning, and we were not going to have her come back to do this, to put herself and everyone else at risk. So
awesome. This is so, I love this. And did I hear you say you streamed it on YouTube?
Yeah.
I mean, you're the technical person in this. You can.
So the day that we decided that we had to postpone the wedding, I made an account and said, we're still going to get married. It didn't matter. We're still going to get married on that day. It didn't matter how we're going to do it, but we're going to share it.
Yeah.
And so I learned from the day that we postponed it until the day of how to live stream and how not to mess it up, because there's so many different little things with all the cameras, because we have security cameras outside our place that I reused for the wedding.
Really know what you're doing. It wasn't just like, oh, where does
I like to try new things.
Yeah, exactly.
And would you consider yourself somebody who's technically savvy?
Yes.
I think it's one of the things that is most stressful for people who don't feel that way, is like, can I pull
this
off?
It's not as hard as you would think to do, just practice. Don't make the day of saying, oh, I live stream to myself to see if it worked. I live stream to Kim. I was like, say hello on this. And now look at your phone. Is it live streaming? To my parents, who are not technically as savvy as us. Mm-hmm. But I tried with a whole bunch of different people just to see if they clicked the link, they could watch us live.
So trial and error is key.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And throughout all this, our original wedding officiant, we had her over Zoom doing the ceremony. So it was a lot of different.
She was on the computer screen in front of us. So it was actually like she was there, just a computer screen for her face.
But so just
decorated and everything.
Well, I want to hear all about that, but I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly the technicality of how you pulled it off. So just the two of you and your officiant were on Zoom, but all other guests watch via YouTube.
Yep.
Now, why that rather than have the rest of the guests call in on Zoom?
Too much work. I can live stream. Boom. Send a link. You click on it. That's it. Yeah. No logging in. No having to get an account. No having to do anything besides. Do you know how to click on a link? You can start watching.
That's a great tip. All right. Let's talk about some of the fun stuff. Like what were the details you decided on? What did you wear? How did you decorate?
You were the decoration expert.
Yeah. I actually bought a bunch of floral designs from Amazon. And we naturally have an archway into our living room from our dining area. So I created a little pretty design throughout that. Yeah, exactly, an archway. And I bought a bunch of fake candles all through Amazon, so thank you. And just decorated the place up. But we still wanted to have like that homey feel that, you know, that we were live streaming this from our apartment where we actually got engaged. So it added a little bit more of a, you know, personal effect to it. And I actually had an additional white dress because our engagement photos were actually also canceled because of, you know, everything that was going on. So I had a white dress with and I actually wore the headbands I'm going to wear for our in-person wedding. So it actually really worked out. It had a fun little 60s, 70s vibe going and really cute. Worked out.
That's amazing. You're being so, you're being very, like using the natural architecture in your house. And so it seems, this is interesting because you didn't want to wear the actual wedding gown that you'll wear in December, but you had this dress for that you were going to use for the engagement shoot. I love that.
Exactly. And we have a lot of big windows and natural light. So, and it just happened to be a gorgeous day out. So,
it's going to be our day, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, New York weather in April isn't always so conducive. So, but it really worked out amazingly.
Well, I think, you know, for all of us right now, I mean, stories that are really beautiful, you know, that come out during this time when we're all feeling so, you know, on edge. Are good for everybody, even, you know, beyond the guests that knew you. And, you know, happy accidents happen in times of crisis. And like hearing how now your wedding took place where you got engaged would not have happened had this all gone unplanned, as planned.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another little fun story to add to everything else that's been going on. So,
And did you like after the ceremony, and by the way, did you write your own ceremony script? Did the officiant write that with you?
The officiant wrote the ceremony and we wrote our own vows.
But she did a knocked down, very light version of what she is prepared to do in December. Mm-hmm. But we just wanted to have enough so that it didn't get to be, it was still very personal, but it wasn't to the level that, because for our wedding, we're actually going to only have a total of 12 people for the ceremony. And we were going
in-person wedding?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that?
We like, it should just be the most extraordinarily close people. There's going to be no brides, grooms, no like there's no drama.
What? No it's wedding just party, just your... your favorite people.
And then do you have more guests coming for the reception after?
Oh yeah, we have 100 other people coming after, and it's just, basically we've been to a lot of weddings and I always complain about what happens at weddings. I'm like, why do I have to sit here for all of this? If I don't have to be a part of this, they're gonna go take pictures. We have to go to another area. Like, what are we doing for this time between while they're doing their stuff? And so I said, why don't we just have everyone just show up at the reception?
For a party.
You guys, when you say you had more people take part in your ceremony, really was more than you ever planned by being able to do it virtually.
It was everyone.
Exactly. So
that's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
It was kind of like a win-win, I guess. But
because all the people like you, Jim, that don't want to sit through a ceremony could have gotten that invitation and been like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Click that link.
And it's just, it's so refreshing to see a couple whose wedding has been affected by this with such a positive outlook on not only how you handled it, but what the outcome is. I mean, I have so many clients that it's like they can't really accept reality that their wedding is not going to be what they imagined. And that, and I understand that, that's a very emotional thing. Like, okay.
You went through that. You went through that for a moment then.
You have to let it take you. Have your day. You don't have to talk to anyone. Just have your day and just let it consume you, but afterwards make the rationalization that you can do so much more and look at the positive. You're just looking at negative, that me. Like, I want this.
Have your day. You mean like give yourself one day to like really cry and mourn?
Do not even allow anyone else. I mean, I talked to my family. Yeah. I barely talked to you. I was like, I need a day.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, the idea of like, I'm going to give myself one day to be in a really fucking bad mood about that.
Exactly.
Like punch a pillow. But then tomorrow we're going to move forward. Like I'm going to do some stuff.
Exactly. And I think it was really fortunate for us that we really work with really great people. Like every vendor that we worked with was, I mean, David hooked us up with this, which was amazing, but you know, everyone was completely understanding and willing to work with us on a new date. We couldn't, I think that.
That's the reason why we picked December 5th is that everyone who was signed up for our original wedding can actually do it. So our wedding planner and like everyone else, David, like everyone who was going to be there the original day can do that day. So.
Yeah, so and that was super important to us. And, you know, we have each other and, you know. We've been together for 5 years. We've seen a lot of up and downs in life, and we just work all together.
Do you think that this experience of being in quarantine together as a couple has only made your relationship more suited for marriage?
Yes.
Very much.
Yeah,
so.
I definitely think so. Like I said, we've been together for 5 years, and we've been living together for four. And we travel a lot together. We've lived in a camper minivan thing together for 2 months. And
with our dog Louie.
Yeah,
that's why I'm looking down so much. Yeah.
Louie looks like Louie's like, listen, don't bullshit me. I know what we need to do, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of times that we've been kind of stuck. No one's been stuck together.
In a much, much, much smaller area, and we've been. You know what? Yeah. It really wasn't even that bad. Like once you find your soulmate, it's like you know what? You know if they have to have a little bit of room, but you know when they actually have to have someone near them just to comfort them.
You know when they need a day.
Yeah. And you know when that day's over.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I'm curious, because I think we may get to talk to another couple, but for your experience too, what did it feel like? Okay, the day has come, you have all the tech, you've sorted it out. Like, what did it feel like between the two? Was it surprising at all?
It was a miracle just to have it happen. Because if you think it was like, oh, we have everything ready. I had everything ready a couple, maybe almost a month after we decided to postpone.
Yeah.
And we still had to sign that license. And that was like, oh, we'll sign it like the day of and your parents will be here. And then it was like, okay, we'll just sign it with your parents outside in a car outside. Oh, she can't be here. She's finding colleagues. The whole thing was we just kept our head up high and just said, you know what? Whatever it takes, we'll just do it. There's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of things that go on, like every wedding, but it's different in this situation. And it's nice to be very humble with the people you're working with because they'll work a lot harder if you actually treat them like a human being.
Because
if you want to yell at them, they're not going to want to help you as much. But if you're saying, thank you, oh my God, this is amazing, they are much more likely to go out of their way to make your day.
Well, I'm sure every colleague that we have in the wedding industry would be very appreciative if all couples getting married do that.
Yeah, whether in person or not.
Yeah.
How was the experience, though, going through it? Like, you know, did you walk in? Did you just appear on the screen? Like, how did that feel for you?
We just shared the screen. I didn't walk in or anything like that. We were just standing there together and hopefully making sure my Zoom worked. But it was nice because prior to it, we were speaking to our wedding officiant about a half hour before. And that kind of just, you know, chilled our nerves. But
it just made it so we could see what we're going to do. How does this work? We didn't just hit click and say, because we realized she really couldn't see us, but they couldn't see the screen because of the reflection. And so we said, all right, well, I'm going to live stream it. You just have to hit mute on YouTube and you can watch it. It's going to be delayed by like 10 seconds or so. So there's some pauses, not that long, but we had to figure out some of the logistics like prior, but it was nice to have her there to calm us down just so we could talk about what was going to happen, how we look, does it look good on the screen, everything else. But it was more calming for us.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was just overall just very exciting, like, you know, getting ready to go. And, you know, I had all my friends and my mom calling me and everything. It was just, it was really nice to know that we were just well supported.
And did you exchange rings?
Yes.
And then will you re-exchange them at your second ceremony? Or?
So here's the thing. When I proposed, she put on her ring and then I decided my ring, and we've just been wearing it since before we got married because my mom hates it, but for me, it's, you know what? There's no reason to put
that
away. You're
so cute. You guys are so in love. I know. That's so it's really sweet. Great.
Oh, thank you.
That's cute.
We'll do for the formality of it. We'll re-exchange them.
So ever since you were engaged, you both have been wearing your wedding bands?
As soon as I got yours.
I love that, because oftentimes we talk about, just on another subject with regard to feminism, how the woman only wears the engagement ring for some reason. So in this case, you both wore engagement rings. I love that.
I bought bands just to see how they fitted to wear for days just before picking out the actual size of the ring.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, everyone says, oh, you can try it on. But I was like, I bought literal bands so that I could try them. That way, you got a good fit and everything else.
Yeah, we both got our rings each from Etsy and had a very like unique design to them and everything. So I think we just couldn't wait to wear them. I couldn't.
Love it. Good. Do we have any other questions for Kim and Jim?
My last thing that I want to know is when you were done with the Zoom and YouTube streaming, what did you do to celebrate the night?
We had a lot of champagne.
All right, keep it.
No.
I don't mean that in a dirty way.
No.
Jason, I'll tell me all about it.
No.
Tell me what happened when the lights went off.
No. We actually walked.
That's my favorite thing for my birthday, for anything special. If you get me a gift, it's just going with us. No phones, no nothing. Just bring out our dog on a nice long walk. And we can go grab a beer from somewhere at a local brewery and just enjoy each other.
Right, but now that we can't do those kind of things currently in New York.
Oh, you can.
Well, I mean,
because we have brewery.
We have takeout breweries. And
the brewery that we actually went to after we signed the paperwork literally had the to-go beers, but someone took our picture with their phone and then sent it to us of that day, which was so nice because we really didn't have anyone. And I know that Kim's mom didn't really want to touch her phone because her dad goes to dialysis and everything else, but they were there for the whole process and we didn't want to expose them at all. So we ended up actually having someone take our picture at the local brewery.
Take out beer and champagne.
Exactly.
What'd you eat for dinner? What did you have for dinner?
I had
made pork tenderloin, your favorite.
I love it. But for the wedding after part, we had a pizza.
Oh, nice. That's my favorite food.
Yeah, I made pork tenderloin after the wedding, and very on brand for a New York wedding.
I'm confused. We had two weddings. Sorry. Like,
the one that you live streamed.
Our pizza.
Oh yeah, we went to your favorite Italian.
Yeah.
That's awesome, you
guys. You're gonna make it.
Thank you so much.
We really feel that.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to hear how the in-person wedding goes and how you incorporate some new traditions into your, well, that'll be your fourth ceremony?
Third. We had to have three because Louis might not go to our actual wedding because he's a bugaboo, but now we can just yell at everyone else and say, I got to go to more.
Hey, would you do us a favor? Could you send us maybe some photos? Like, I don't know if you could screenshot photo of what you streamed
on YouTube.
You want the live
stream? We have it. It's still on YouTube.
Oh, is it? Maybe point us to it. Yeah. Maybe we can do some, yeah, some screenshots for show art or just for to have for social media. Like, we if you're all okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
That
yeah.
would be lovely.
Great.
Yeah, perfect. Definitely.
That way people could see you. You guys, thank you so much and congratulations. And I'm just
thank you.
You got me all warm and fuzzy and happy. Yeah. So good. You know, I just love it. So thank you for sharing the story with us.
Of course.
Thank you for having us. This is so much fun.
We just want to share the happiness in like a time like this. We just want to make sure everyone can see a little bit of lighter side of things.
100%, 100%, and you did. Thank you so much. Have a good day, and say bye to Louie for us.
Oh, definitely.
Will too. Okay.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
And now we want to take a moment and tell you about our sponsor for this episode, Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics is a beauty brand with a bigger than beauty mission. It goes far beyond skin deep, empowering women everywhere, founded by a female makeup artist and product developer. Thrive Cause, as in C-A-U-S-E, Cosmetics makes high-performance vegan, 100% cruelty-free formulas without the use of parabens or sulfate. These are amazing products. They are performance-driven ingredients that not only highlight your best features, but are formulated for all-day wear, and I can attest to that all day. Every product you purchase from Thrive donates to help women thrive.
We love that Thrive is sponsoring the show because we love our Thrive products. You can't see me, but I am wearing a shiny gloss right now, and I'm not necessarily a lipstick person, and I think Thrive has like got me on board.
This is huge for you because, yeah, you've only had your Dr. Pepper, you know, chapstick stuff.
This.
And so this is huge that you're wearing this.
It's High Shine Reviving Topper, this one that I like the most, and it's called Glinda. That is the name of it or the color. And I also love the cleanser. There's a 3-in-1 cleanser that we were gifted, and now I've gone back to buy more, actually, because I am going through it so fast. I love the smell of it. We love the fact that this stuff is all natural, and we, of course, love, love, love that they're giving back to women. So I can say that my favorite products so far are the lip topper and the face wash, but you have another favorite that I can see on you right now.
The mascara. Yeah. The liquid lash extensions. Like, I'm obsessed. And it's taken like, I don't know, you guys. I've tried all sorts of mascaras for the last like 30 years. This is like, I hope they never stop making it. Like, I love it so much.
She's going to hoard.
I'm going to hoard. No, forget the toilet paper. I'm all about the liquid lash extensions from Thrive.
So we want more Thrive. So listeners, you want Thrive, and we want you to let Thrive know that we sent you. So here's what to do.
So you're going to go to thrivecosmetics.com/bigwedding. And at checkout, put in the code bigwedding, and you're going to get 15% off. That's Thrive Cause, as in CAUSEMETICS. ThriveCosmetics.com/bigwedding. Code bigwedding for 15% off. Thank you so much, Thrive.
Oh, we have another couple.
Yay. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
This is so fun. We got people popping in and out. This is Julia and Jordan.
Yep. Yes.
Hi, welcome. I'm Michelle.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Christy, and you're newlyweds.
We are.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And you know Jason.
No, we have a photographer in common.
I keep making this mistake. Okay.
Yeah.
you know people that know Jason, and yeah, you're all connected in that way. You're East Coasters.
David Perlman, who was meant to shoot your wedding, we work together all the time. And so I saw him post that he attended the Zoom wedding. Yeah. And so I reached out to him to get your contact information, knowing I was going to be a guest on East Fabulous Ladies podcast talking about this very subject.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
So yeah. Where do you guys live?
In New York, on the Upper East Side.
Oh, not far. Jason, where do you live?
I'm Upper West.
Oh, Upper West. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Upper West, Upper East. Okay. Okay. Well, nice to meet you. This is welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And we are just super excited and really have been enjoying, you know, all of these stories of people who are having these virtual weddings and moving on, and you know, love is not canceled, and we'd love to know more just about, you know, the two of you. Like, was there an original wedding date that had to be shifted, or did you have a marriage license? Like, how did this come to happen?
Well, sorry.
You want it? Okay, I'll tell it. So we were supposed to get married on April 10th, which we did get married on April 10th ultimately.
Perfect.
And we had planned to do Friday evening, April 10th, we were going to have a small ceremony with just immediate family at a restaurant in Brooklyn. And then the Saturday after the 11th, we were going to have our reception with like a bigger group. Like, I think it was like 125 guests.
Something like that, yeah.
And so obviously the reception's been postponed till August.
Hopefully.
August, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I think when in the weeks leading up to us having to postpone, things were getting more and more dire in New York, and this was before we were on full lockdown. Like, I had been told I had to work from home. You had to work from home. Mm-hmm. And we were getting really stressed out because it was like leading up to our date, and like we had like things left to do still for the planning. And then it was when I think the order was that events that were over 50 needed to be canceled. So we right away got in touch with we had been in touch with all our vendors, but we got in touch with them at that point, and we worked to find a new date that worked for everybody. And once we kind of landed there, we wanted to still get married. Like, right, we had always intended to have a small ceremony, and we didn't want to put that off. So we immediately went to the courthouse in New York to get our marriage license, knowing that they would probably get shut down. And they did, like, about a week later.
Yeah, it was, ooh, like, I think we may have gotten the license before we even decided that we were definitely going to put it off. We just said, like, we want to make sure we can get it before.
Just in case.
They get shut down, yeah.
Yeah, and then we also got our wedding. Our wedding bands we had already, like, picked out. We just needed, mm-hmm, to go pick them up. So we immediately, I think the next day after we got the license, we went and got our bands, just so we had, like, everything in place if we needed to, just so we could pull the trigger, really, and still get married.
Yeah, like, you had no idea if you would or what you would, but you just instinctively wanted to have this in play, this stuff.
Yeah, I think that we wanted to get married. We just didn't know what was going to happen. You know, we didn't know if, you know, people would be able to get together at any point. You know, if we wanted to keep the ceremony at the same day, maybe we'd push it to the end of the month. But we said, you know what, let's just be safe. You get 2 months on a license, so might as well go get it. And luckily, my friend got his minister's license. He got from the Universal Life Church. Yes. So he was gonna do the ceremony anyway, so we didn't have to worry about having any court officiant or religious figure or whatnot. So my buddy was very helpful in that way.
I think New Yorkers, you have that reputation for being resilient and resourceful and realistic, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if this is happening, let's not kid ourselves.
Like, get this shit done. Yeah, who knows what can happen?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that are faced with the fact that they might want to have this now, but they didn't get their license. And the city clerk's offices are closed. So you can still have a non-binding ceremony if you want, but you can't legally get married if you live in a state where those offices have been shut.
I guess what was fortunate for us was that our wedding was in April, not May or June. So we kind of knew no matter what, we were going to have to put it off. I think a lot of people they have summer weddings, like late spring weddings, are just kind of crossing their fingers still. And now they're in a little bit of trouble. But we knew that we'd have to, if we wanted to get married, we'd have to get that certificate ASAP.
Yeah.
And you also had all your ducks in a row pretty much anyway. Like the ring bands were already at the store waiting for you because your wedding was coming up,
right?
You know, as normal. Yeah, people are in that weird gray area with July weddings, let's for example, mm-hmm. because they just don't know if they should make the call and if and when they're gonna know. So for you, it's like the call was pretty clearly made when New York City was like, okay.
Yeah, for us, I think that was for us the hardest part was when we were in that gray area of like, are we gonna have to postpone or not? Because at the same time, it's like I said, you're trying to finish up those last details. We had just gotten the last of our response cards. So we needed to start working on our table settings. And like, so it's like, I'm thinking two different things. Like, do I need to come up with a contingency? Or are we going four over this and I have to wrap up the last of the remaining details? So I have other friends. I have a cousin who's supposed to get married in June. We have friends that were supposed to be getting married in May and they've since postponed. But I really feel for the June, July people that we've been talking about that are in this holding pattern. Whereas, like you said, for us, it was just pretty clear, like, okay, well, that's done. We got to move it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they should, you know, you can apply for a marriage license online in New York State, but you can't get it. I think that's something like, obviously there's a lot going on with unemployment benefits and people having to file for that stuff. But if that was more available, I think a lot of people would probably go the route that we went, but.
And I wonder if it'll start to change during this time as if the demand for it continues to grow, if this isn't such a short-term phase that we're in, like living how we are now.
I emailed our mayor of the city that I live in yesterday on Sunday because I was like, this is crazy. Like this is a fundamental right to get married, to obtain a marriage license. And we can get married like you did, practicing social distancing. And so they responded to me really quickly and said, you know, we agree with you. We're willing to do whatever, but it's a county thing. So you have to like reach out to the county. So anyone listening, like I urge you all to write in and start emailing because I just don't see that this should be a reason not to get married. Like the reasons you all were just talking about. Like some people need to get married right now for various reasons.
Well, it's like
healthcare we've learned, directives.
And we've learned to do so many other things in a different way so quickly for like, you know, people literally have virtual like doctor's appointments and homeschooling. Yeah. Like this shouldn't be that complicated to figure out a way to do it.
Right. Right. It was a bit of an archaic process.
It was. Right? I do think part of the reason why marriage licenses were held, like offices are not making it easier to get was by design to discourage people from just inviting their neighbors.
Right.
Or like, we just have our friends. And at first you saw that the towns that had like loose rules, nobody was following the rules. And the towns like New York that were like, oh, this is a serious full lockdown rule. People, you know, who would have been reluctant were following them. So I think if this keeps going on, they might change those. But at first that was part of the reason why they're not giving people the certificates because weddings.
Maybe you'll have to be required to show your ID and a copy of the Zoom link that you're sending to your guests to prove that it's virtual.
Totally. I know.
Maybe someone from the city is going to be like, well, I'm clicking on that Zoom link just to make sure there's nobody else in there.
Yeah.
And you could be like, fine, you're invited.
As people lose jobs, they'll want to get on their partner's health insurance. You know, there's, you know, as people get sick, you need to have, like you said, like, you know, the right to be with somebody. There's a lot of just small legality things that come with marriage. And I think that as people are stuck inside more and more, that's going to come into play.
100%.
I agree. One of the points that you just made is what I'm hearing a lot from many people. It's this fear of like, what if one of us loses our jobs and we don't have healthcare, like as a non-married person. That is a big driving force as to why many people are making the decision to get married if they can.
Also in New York, you need to have someone there. We were lucky to have a roof so we could go up to our roof and be 6 feet apart, but you couldn't do it on Zoom. You can't have a witness officiant on Zoom, at least in the state of New York.
No, nowhere. It's not legal. And that's one thing. You can do this practicing social distancing with the officiant being so many feet away from you. 100%. Even a photographer can be, you know, 10 feet away from you with a lens and take a photo or whatever. But the most important recipe is the couple and the officiant. And that's all you need. And a Zoom link.
Right.
So tell us, you were on the roof, but do tell us about your wedding.
Yeah, tell us how you did it.
How you did it.
So we
created a Zoom link that was just for our immediate family members. Jordan has two brothers. I have two sisters. So they were both there and our parents. And we had our officiant, who's a good friend, and his partner came over. And then one of my good friends who's close by came over. Everyone was wearing masks. It was kind of sad. Yeah. No one could like hug each other or anything. Yeah.
We all just went up right to the roof.
We went up right to, yeah, we got this Zoom going in our office, and then we went up to the roof and then turned into like joined the Zoom from my phone. And so my good friend that was there, she held my phone with the Zoom so they could see like the shot of us. And then our officiant's partner brought a camera, so she recorded it for us. So we do have
a video.
We do, which is really nice. And then, yeah, we had our ceremony, and our moms both made toast for us over the Zoom, which was really sweet.
And did you do anything to the roof space to like enhance it for the wedding?
No, just blank slate.
Like. Yeah. It's definitely safe, but it's not a finished roof.
Yeah.
And I don't know if our landlord would have loved us to decorate it.
Yeah, we weren't really supposed to be up there, but
well, they allow us to.
Yeah.
Maybe you had more views than the average person doing it in their living room.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we had a nice, it was really cold and windy, and so the videos people couldn't really hear it that well on the Zoom because of the wind, but right. The video's a little bit better, and you know, I just think that they at least saw us do it, and I think that's what matters.
What were you wearing?
I had this like little white Yumi Kim dress that I wore, and Jordan wore a suit, so we did like dress up for it.
Cute.
And all their wedding guests over Zoom wore the outfits they were supposed to wear to our ceremony.
Oh, I love that.
That's so cute. So,
yeah, my brothers didn't.
Your mom did, and yeah, my sisters and parents did.
I mean, they could have had like a cute top and no pants on below. You wouldn't have known this. Yeah. This is the beauty, you know. How many attendees? How many people tuned in, logged on?
So we had her sisters and parents, I guess that's four. We had my mom and brothers, that's another three. And his girlfriend, that's eight. And then David, the photographer that we know.
Yeah. No, so, that was with you on the roof.
Yes.
Oh, and then
Zoom.
Over Zoom, all those people.
We just had people on the roof. We had like us and then three other people. Officiant and people.
Officiant and two witnesses on the roof.
And then how many people on Zoom?
I guess nine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
How did it feel up there, like to actually do it?
It was good. Like, I think it was good to just finally have that moment. Like, it'd been a lot of stress and anxiety to figure out how we could do this logistically and just all this uncertainty. So to finally like, everything came together. We're in that moment. Like it was really happy and nice. It was emotional too, because it was like so intimate in the end, like the whole thing, like, and you're on the roof with like, I could see like people in other buildings, like looking out the windows around us. So it was really special.
Yeah. It's funny because you don't generally run your own wedding, but we just had to be like, all right, we're starting. Okay. I guess we're married now.
Yeah.
And so it took a second for it to feel official. But once we signed, I think the license, and you know, we're wearing rings, I was like, okay, this is real.
Something that is different, something feels different since then.
Yeah, it felt like at first we were making some kind of like indie short film or something on the roof. You know, my friend Brian's a filmmaker, so that's it. You know, for a second it felt like, all right, we're setting up our shot. And then once we signed the stuff and we're wearing rings, I think it was like, all right, we're married. I felt real.
And did you do anything after you signed to celebrate the night? Like anything, did you have a special dinner or anything like that?
Jordan got us a cake. He had like surprised me that morning. He had somehow found a bakery. He got us a cake.
It's hard to do. I mean, so many of these places are closed in New York.
It's so hard. So we had a cake, and then like my parents like had sent us money, and they're like, get some really good takeout. So we got like tons of sushi and like hung out. And
cute.
Yeah, it was like a nicer version of what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, it was like a scale version. Yeah.
And that somebody else paid for.
Yeah.
Yes.
For that
you weren't
part.
Just eating rice and chicken and broccoli that you made at home.
Right. Yeah, we ate better food while sitting on the same couch watching the same TV.
Yeah.
But amazing. It was nice. Amazing. That's so great, you guys. Any other questions for our couple here? Christy,
David,
Jason,
your photographer, he's on now here.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, David.
You're the one that knows everyone.
Welcome, David. Thank you for bringing all these beautiful couples to us.
Oh, I'm so glad this is all working out. It's good to see you all.
Well, I can say this firsthand about David because we've worked together many times. He attracts quality people.
Oh. Well, thank you. That's very sweet. And in this case of Julia and Jordan, it's definitely true. And all my couples are great.
Congratulations, you two. You did it. Thank you.
You
really pulled it off in this crazy time. And I'm sure it brought a ton of joy and love and lightness to your friends and family that you did share it with. And that's important too.
Yeah, we're glad they were able to do it over Zoom and that we could at least share a little bit with them.
David, you were there at Julia and Jordan's?
No, I am their photographer, so I was going to be there with them in person. But what instead I did was I got all dressed up in my suit, I got all ready for their wedding and at my home, and I took pictures of my computer screen.
Oh, cute!
So I was there kind of taking photos. You know, I was toggling on Zoom between speaker view and grid view. And I was able to get some close-ups of their family members as they were watching and smiling. So, you know, I did what I could to document the day.
That's a really cool perspective. You've got to send us some of those photos. Would that be all right with the two of you?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we could post those to social media or make some show art for this episode out of those?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. David, that would be amazing.
Of course.
Yeah. And then, so when your rescheduled wedding is in August, is that what you said? So David, did you reschedule? Are you doing the August in person?
Yep. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm very excited for it.
Oh, I love this. I love that you did this.
It just becomes this, you'll land at something that's going to be so full circle of all the steps that it took to finally have that in-person wedding.
Yeah, and it'll be nice because we'll already be married, so it'll be less stressful. It'll just be a nice big party.
100% true.
Before we were living in these times of Corona, I had a few couples that chose to handle the legality of marriage separately from their in-person reception for that reason. They were just I don't want that stress on the day. I just can enjoy it more if that's taken out of the picture. And it might start to become a trend even when we're not dealing with the virus and the way we're currently being asked to live.
And I don't know when people will be allowed out from all this, but when they do, depending on the timing, it might be a cathartic moment for people who haven't seen each other in a long time get together. Oh,
I think when we are allowed to safely celebrate, the need for it is going to be so huge that these types of events are going to be so meaningful because they're not only going to celebrate the marriage and the love, but also that we made it through a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be springtime all over again.
Permanently.
Always spring. Oh, I love it. You two, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time. And congratulations again. And I can't wait to see the photos. And, when you do have the in-person wedding, please, keep us updated and maybe send some pictures and email us or something. We'd love to see what you end up doing and when.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Have a pleasure. Great day. Bye,
David, stay on with us, David.
Okay. Night.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, David.
Hi. Oh, it was such a nice, wonderful surprise to see the two of them on here.
I didn't know that you did that, took photos of the screen. That's pretty cool and brilliant. How did those photos come out? What do you think?
You know, I'm actually totally happy with them. Obviously, it's not going to be the same kind of photos that I have on my website and that I'll be creating with them in person. But I just wanted to, my kind of role is to serve them the best way that I can and to, take photos that they'll be able to look back on the day. And so I thought, well, how can I do this? And that just seemed to be the most obvious option. And also an option, I'm kind of excited. I'm excited about how the photos came out. Definitely captured the reality of what's happening today.
It's documenting their day, but it's extra that you did because you're still going to. So I just appreciate as a vendor in the industry that you chose to meet this moment by going above and beyond because it is a part of their experience. So to document it by the professional that they hired is a really nice treat that they get out of it. In a, it might be like the silver lining a little bit for what was probably a difficult choice that they made in some ways.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things you mentioned before, I think, is so great, which probably most people aren't thinking about as they do these, is the joy of still having a photographer on board is to capture things like guest reactions and whatnot that otherwise would have just sort of gone missed.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I appreciate you saying that, because I did want to, you know, be able to do it for them, to document the day. And sure, I'm no longer contracted for this weekend. But it's also, honestly, like, for me too, like, I've been looking forward to their wedding and I've been excited with them every step of the way. And like, when the weekend got here, I wanted to be able to be a part of things too. So it's kind of like, you know, I love what I do. I love taking photos, but I love getting to be part of the experience, part of the wedding, part of the joy. So in a way, I'm like, ooh, can I have the link to that? Because I wanted to be there. So I think it was good for all of us all around.
Have you participated in any like in-person social distancing type of private ceremonies or photo shoots right currently?
That's a great question. I actually haven't. I kind of drew a line and I said, you know what? I'm not an essential business right now, so I'm going to stay home. Because I know that, sure, like, you know, I could go out and do an engagement session and be 6 feet away, but I just feel like what we're being asked, you know, and this is my opinion, what we're being asked is, if you're a non-essential business, stay at home. So that's kind of the line that I drew, because I think it would have been really easy for me to be like, well, I can just go and be on the rooftop with them. And this is actually my third couple now who's had a wedding like this. But I just feel like if I start doing that all the time as a business, I feel like I have to be responsible.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think this is obviously different for people that live in different types of places, but us as New Yorkers who rely on either public transportation or even getting in a cab or an Uber, we don't have the ability to control not being exposed if you choose to use any of that just to get to a rooftop. So unless they like lived on your block and you could walk there, I mean, it's so improbable.
Right. And for me, I just had to make the hard line of, I'm not essential. I'm not going to go outside to do my job. that it was just kind of, cause it would be a slippery slope for me. Cause I could see myself being like, oh, well, I could do engagement sessions. I could do headshots. I could be working all the time. And it's just not.
Well, and I also, you know, I love hearing this, because I think for our listeners, I mean, we want to all be models of practicing good behavior during this time to get through it sooner. I mean, the more people are really, that people are really strict, the faster we can be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean,
that's what I'm hoping too. I mean, of course we have no idea, but that's kind of my thinking too. Like, let's just do it. Let's do it right.
Do it all the way.
Yeah, because I want to be able to go to weddings again. I want my couples to be able to have weddings. You know, I still have couples in June and July who haven't rescheduled, and I'm hoping to do those. And, you know, obviously I might have to reschedule all of those. We just have no idea, but I kind of want to get through it as quickly as possible, I guess.
And I think also, just for those who are impacted just financially because they're not working, we want those people to be able to go back to work as soon as possible so as to not spread. And we want grandparents to be able to attend these weddings. And yeah, so it is important. And we were talking before you came on, David, we were talking about how couples should be able to get marriage licenses right now. Like, we're feeling like something needs to be done where they can do these virtually. And Christy brought up the point that probably the reason that they shut that off was to discourage these group gatherings. And I think it's important to say that, you know, to those listening, like, yes, get married, but don't be having people come over for it. Like, do it virtually. You have to have your officiant there. But just like Julia and Jordan were saying, like, there was masks involved and they did not hug and, you know, they did not touch. And that's so, so important that we don't want to be conveying a message here of everybody get together and have a little wedding. We're saying virtual wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Kim and Jim, you spoke with them earlier. Am I right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I also took pictures of their YouTube wedding.
Oh, okay. So send us those too, because they were all about sharing.
Oh, yeah. They were they are just the sweetest. And they, you know,
they're so in love.
I know.
And since theirs was YouTube, there were no reactions. It was just the two of them. So, you know, I was still able to take photos, but I agree. I echo what you're saying. It's like, if you're going to do this, really, your families have to be on Zoom or watching on YouTube, you know.
But they also had, you know, with the second couple whose reactions you caught on Zoom, they didn't have that many people dialing into the Zoom, which made it a little bit easier to capture. I mean, I think for some people on Zoom, they still want to create the setting where you just see the couple and the officiant, because if you have like 100 people dialed in, it's hard to actually focus on what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I think on Zoom, I was toggling myself between gallery view and speaker view, you know? And so when it was speaker view, it was mostly they were big and everyone else was small. But I could then like decide to go to gallery view and look for people who might be laughing or crying or whatever.
Wow, what an interesting new way for you to do your job that is always been done in person, like looking for people's cues and physicalities and emotions and that one tear that falls down grandma's face, you know, and you happen to catch it and now you're using your mouse to like zoom in on their faces. It goes to show you that we as humans, if I can get like big on this, crave connection so much that we'll find any way to create it. And for you, sounds like you're really passionate about your work as well. So a part of that connection comes through your work. And how are you supposed to do it except to adjust and pivot and adjust like Michelle and I
adjust and react about. Was that what, and yeah. flexibility, like that's just, I just love what's happening. I have to say through absolutely. All this darkness, there's so much light and positivity happening, good things.
Well, you know, like when I guide clients through the process and we very early on talk about finding a photographer, I often say, you know, it is myself as your wedding planner and the photographer that you are going to see more of than anybody else on your wedding day. So it's important that not only that you like their work, but that you like their energy to be around. Cause it's a, you know, and I think what's so beautiful now, David, is like, you've still been around their wedding day in the short
your
term.
Your energy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. Thanks. It was also cool. Cause for Julie and Jordan, they just invited their parents and their siblings for the Zoom call. And at the end, I was able to be like, oh, hey, everyone, I'm the photographer. Like, I'll be seeing you on the wedding day. Like, it was cool to actually be able to meet them before the wedding. And they were like, did you do the engagement photos? They were so beautiful, you know? So like, it is kind of cool to be able to be there every step of the way. Cause now when I see them at the wedding, it's like, I feel like I know them already in a way.
There'll be more familiarity between everybody. Yeah. That got to be a part of that first one too.
It's another piece of the silver lining to it all.
Yeah. I love this. And I'm very excited about all of this. It's creative juices flowing and it gives just like you said, like, oh, guess what I'm doing this weekend? I'm going to a wedding. What do you mean you're going to a wedding? Yes, I'm logging in on Zoom or watching it on YouTube. I mean, how cool is that? That's fun. That makes it feel like a weekend, everybody.
It's
absolutely
true.
So for those of you listening, if you couldn't tell, I'm a big fan of David's. We work together on a lot of weddings. And I think that not only are you a great photographer, but you do a really nice job sharing how you are in the process of it all, even before this happened. And that's how I caught wind of this. I saw you on your Insta story talking about how you got dressed up to stay in your apartment to capture the wedding. And I just thought it was so moving. So tell everybody where they can find you and see more of your work.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. Thanks.
Yes.
It's David Perlman Photography. It's P-E-R-L-M-A-N. So davidperlmanphotography.com or on Instagram, David Perlman Photography, or Facebook, David Perlman Photography. That's pretty much it.
Love it. David, thank you so much for this. We really appreciate you throwing these guests our way. And we love, obviously, Jason loves you, so we love you too.
Oh, wonderful. So great to meet you. And thank you for doing this. I know it'll be really helpful for people.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, David.
Bye. Oh, well, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
We didn't mention this, but we actually had at least one other couple that Jason had connected us with that you do have a personal connection
yes.
to.
Yes.
And timing didn't work out for this recording, but don't, you know, stay tuned, everyone. We have a feeling we'll be talking about this a lot in the future, and we want to infuse that positivity and love back into wedding planning and kind of the situation right now. So we will certainly be talking to more couples, one in particular that we know that you got dressed up yourself to go to their wedding, didn't you, Jason?
I sure did.
Yeah.
I was in a blazer and a dress shirt and sweatpants, barefoot, martini in hand.
Yes, I love it. The new way to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
Did they do a group toast? I know a lot of
they did it as a separate link because they I guess controlled the settings on the initial wedding, so you actually couldn't do the gallery view, so it was only the speaker and the officiant. So then there was a second link for a group call where you could see everybody, because they had, I think, 130 people that were on the Zoom, which is one thing that, you know, I would talk about as a tip that I learned from attending that is, in particular, like, you know, his grandfather was in attendance and like the moms, and, you know, it's like, I would suggest in that case, because it becomes like your virtual receiving line, is to sort of prioritize who is going to speak and let them know to go in a certain order, and also encourage all other guests to mute themselves when they are not speaking, to eliminate the feedback and things like that.
Yeah, this is, we're going to learn a lot from this going forward, everybody. And we're going to, I have a feeling we're going to be doing something special here. So stay tuned for that little teaser for you, a little teaser. I'm not going to give it away yet.
Gets me excited.
I know, I'm so excited. Okay, good, good. Well, I think we covered everything. I'm super excited about all of this. And I hope that this helped you all listening, you know, add a little light bulb perhaps, or a little light to your day. And we're all happy that Jason, thank you so much for being on the show again.
I'd come back anytime.
Yes, we would love to have you back anytime.
And like I said, we will post the blog post that Jason wrote in detail about, I mean, the blog post goes into detail about planning a virtual wedding and do's and don'ts and tips and tricks and all of that. We were focused a little more on the experience, talking to those who have lived it in this episode, but the blog post itself is full of good information. So we'll link to that. And then there's photos of the couples that were on the podcast as well. We'll be sharing those. I just actually commented on one of David's posts of the rooftop couple.
So, oh, cool.
So cool. So cool to see. And we're really happy that couples are sharing this with us. So if you listening are having a virtual wedding and you wanted to invite Michelle and me and Jason to be part of your Zoom guest list, we would love that. So
let me just see if I can clear my calendar. Oh yeah, I'm good.
I might be busy. I don't know. I might not be home.
Yeah.
Keep it in mind, and stay tuned for more on this giant topic right now.
Yes. All righty. Thank you, Jason. Oh, Jason, do we know how anybody could find Jason? Well, we're going to have a link on the show notes, but Jason, throw out your website or
Yeah, my website Instagram is just my full name, which is jasonmitchellkahn.com. Kahn is spelled K-A-H-N. And you can find me on Instagram at Mr. Jason Mitchell or on Facebook, which is Jason Mitchell Kahn and Co.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jason. Oh my God. Thank you, Jason. Have an awesome day. Talk to you soon.
You too.
If you're listening on iTunes, it helps us so much if you subscribe, rate, and review. Those reviews really, really matter. Our Instagram is at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And I want to note that we're doing an Instagram live every Saturday afternoon now. So we promote it. Just to remind you, Michelle did a timer last week to let
the countdown. Yeah. Well, just so you know, if you're listening, if you see that countdown on Instagram, you can click on it and it'll remind you. So it's actually a tool.
Very cool. You're a tool.
You're a tool.
You're a tool.
Whatever, okay. Man. Yeah.
And we talk for an hour on that. People come and go and we answer a lot of questions. So it's a live.
It's a live Yawa. It's really becoming this like in-person Yawa now. So it's cool.
Yes, really fun. We would love to see you there. On Facebook, look for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We also have a community group that's very active and supportive and wonderful. and you just click to be approved, and I will grant you access to that treasure trove of support and resources. If you want to get in touch with us directly, please email thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And if you love the podcast and we're helping you to plan your wedding, then we would love for you to become a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. A couple bucks a month goes a long way when enough of you donate and contribute there, and we appreciate every bit of it. It keeps
especially
us
especially right now, because the advertisers are not running to us at this moment, although they should be, because you all are listening group. A lot. Yeah, it's getting fickle.
Is that a word?
Okay, fickle. Go ahead.
So also keep in mind, we have links on our website. One is to unboringefficient.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast, or big wedding maybe. It's all up there in linking, and he is an awesome professional that will help you to write and create your wedding ceremony. So it might be a good resource for those of you whose plans are changing up right now. Mm-hmm. And we stand by and big stamp of approval there on that program. So that's it, except for a phone number. Oh, the actual website, sorry. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com, yeah?
That's our website. Yeah. And you can call us and leave us a voicemail, and we would love to hear your voice, whether it's asking us a question or leaving us a little love message. And that number is 415-723-1625. We often play those messages on Yawa when we get them, but not many people call in. I mean, people mostly email us, but feel free to call in. I mean, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to have you on the show. So feel free to do that. Happy planning, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay home. We love you all so much. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.